Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my students and I bring you content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. There's a special kind of magic that only happens in a school theater. It's the sound of backstage whispers, the hum of a spotlight, and the thrill of an audience waiting for the curtain to rise. It's the smell of fresh paint and old costumes. It's the place where, for a few hours, we all agree to believe in something new. And right now, the magic is running a full power as our school gets ready to open the curtain on Wind in the Willows. But what does it really take to bring Toad, Mole, Ratty, and Badger to life? It's not just about the actors you see on stage. Today, we're pulling back the curtain and going behind the scenes of the production. Our co-hosts James and Highlight sit down with the student actors and stagehands to find out what it's really like to be in the show. And later, we'll get the director's perspective from the head of the whole production. But first, let's hear our quote of the day and get some headline news.
Welcome back. It's time for our quote of the day. Since we're talking to students in our first segment who are using their creativity to build an entire world on stage, we're focusing on the true power of imagination. Our quote comes from the acclaimed writer J.K. Rowling, who said, "Imagination is not only the uniquely human capacity to envision that which is not, it is the power that enables us to empathize with humans whose experiences we have never shared. This practice of stepping into someone else's shoes on stage is the very thing that helps them understand their friends, classmates, and people in the real world better. It is a critical skill for life, all learned by just telling a story. Speaking of the real world, let's see what's currently making headlines in the world of arts and theater. Highlight is up next with our headline news.
Thank you, James, for our quote of the day. First up, let's talk about one of the most anticipated movie musicals in years. Variety has just confirmed that filming has wrapped on Wicked, Part 2, the second half of the massive film adaptation starring Cynthia as Elphaba and Ariana Grande as Glinda. For anyone who doesn't know, Wicked is the record-breaking Broadway sensation that tells the untold story of the Witches of Oz. It's been running for over 2 decades, so the pressure to get this movie right is huge. Director John M. Chu assured fans that the late 2025 release date is locked in. It's always a huge challenge to bring a beloved stage show to the screen, but with that all-star cast, expectations are sky high. Moving from the screen back to the stage, there's incredible news for fans of behind-the-scenes drama. Playbill reports that a new stage musical based on the NBC TV series Smash is officially heading to Broadway, set to open in the spring of 2026. The original TV show was all about the drama, passion, and chaos of creating a new musical about Marilyn Monroe. Now, that story is becoming a real-life Broadway show, directed by the legendary 5-time Tony winner Susan Stroman, the genius behind The Producers. It's a perfect example of art imitating art, a musical about making a musical. That's a theme I think we and our listeners know a little something about right now. And for our final headline, a story that proves that the classics never fade, the New York Times announces that a major revival of the iconic musical, Oliver, is coming to Broadway next season. Based on Charles Dickens' timeless novel, Oliver Twist, this is the show that gave us unforgettable songs like Food, Glorious Food, and Consider Yourself. This new production was a runaway success in London and is being mounted by the same producer who brought Malin Rogue, the musical, to life. It's a powerful reminder that great stories can be reinvented for new generations, finding new ways to reconnect with audiences, which is exactly what every theater company from Broadway to our own school aims to do. And that ends our headline news for this episode.
Thank you for the quote in the headline news. As we just heard in the news, putting on a show this big is a massive community effort. Now we're going to hear directly from the students who are living it every day. I'm handing the microphone over to James and Highlight, who are sitting down with some of the cast and crew of Wind in the Willows. We welcome Josiah, Layla, Sibel, Ginny, and Talent to the studio. James, go ahead and get us started.
So guys, how did you bring your character to life in the musical so that people don't really think that you're acting, but you're embodying your role?
For me, getting into the role was quite easy. After getting my cane, I just worked around the cane, and then I became the old wise badger guy that I needed to be.
For me, I play the role of Bargewoman and also Rabbit. So one thing that really helped me distinguish between these two roles are my physicality. So I use, there's this guy named Laban. So it's like the different ways of how you move your body, like fast, slow, light, heavy, things like that. And I also use this levels of tension, the 7 levels of tension by Jack Lecoq. So it's very physical. These two roles are much more physical than psychological for me.
In the show, I am a stoat, which is an animal that looks similar to a weasel. At first, I didn't know what it was, but I feel like if you are acting as an animal, by looking at their pictures and videos, you can get a more clear sense of how they act in their everyday life. So that's something that helped me a lot.
Yeah, similar to Ginny, for me, I had to think about different techniques that we learned in theater with the weight of the character. And for me, it was more psychological because I feel like I'm very similar to my character in physicality. So yeah, it was a lot of using techniques that I learned in theater, making sure that I remember that when I'm actually acting it out on stage.
So I play Reddy, and some of the techniques that I used were the same as what the previous actor said, like Laban and everything. But something that I did personally was I read the script and I really digested the scene. And so what that allowed me to do was it really allowed me to apply real human feelings to the scene.
Okay, thank you all for sharing the different techniques you used when performing. What was the most challenging or rewarding part of preparing for this production?
So one of the most challenging things for me when preparing for this production was definitely the accent. Because, I mean, a lot of the times people can be like, oh, you're just doing an easy British accent. But that's the thing about me. I don't want to do just a British accent. I want to sound like a native speaker. Also, something that was really challenging with this with the show was definitely the vocals. Because sometimes my character has to sing these really high notes that I think I can't reach. But honestly, it's just like it's all mental.
For me, I loved the singing aspect of things. I think that was the most rewarding part for me was when I finally reached a note that I had a mental block about in my big solo song. I like had such a big high note that for me, I kept going flat on, and it was stressing me out so bad that every time I sang it, it was just mentally like, I can't do it, I can't do it. But then when I finally hit it in our recent rehearsal, I got so excited. And for me, that's the most rewarding part.
I also want to talk about the part that I felt like was the most rewarding to me. So this is my last year in ICS as a senior, and also my last year as a dance captain in our school musicals. So I'm spending more time this year to just look around me at the different people from different grades all acting and dancing together. And this is a sight that we don't get to see in other classes or during the school day. So I felt like it was really rewarding to see all of those people with the same passion about theater together.
For me, a really big struggle is juggling all of the workload. Not only am I like the assistant director and actor, I am also part of tech. And apart from that, I also have AP classes that I'm taking at school. I'm currently taking 3, which to some people might not be a lot, but all of these classes have their own like sorts of struggles that I have to deal with apart from being part of the musical. And not only that, I have to deal with, as I said before, I am a techie, so I have to make props and work more than others because I have like my duties as assistant director too, so I can't go to tech rehearsals, so I have to do it outside of class during my own like home time or free time. So it's definitely been a struggle to balance between all of these different aspects, both musical and my personal life and my academic life?
Mine would probably be a lot like talent. It's more of a rewarding and a challenging thing, as I did have a lot of mental blocks for some notes in my singing, and the fact that I was able to overcome those mental blocks and be able to sing it was quite rewarding.
All right, guys, we have one final question. Were there any particular moments in the process that felt more meaningful to you? Something special or personal to the experience as a whole?
I can't really say any particular moments, but just the entirety of being the older person that the younger people in the cast look up to sometimes, it's been very nice to just be the person who's giving them advice as I grew up with other people giving me advice, and now I can pass that down.
For me, something that was really that felt really meaningful to me is getting to see all sides of the process of making the musical. Because as I said previously, I have a lot of roles apart from the things that you might expect as an actor. So as like a future theater major, I really do appreciate seeing all of these different facets of theater making, because now I have more like ideas on what I want to do in the future and like how I might take these skills that I've learned by being part of this musical and applying it to my future college life and my future career.
So I am part of the Wild Wooders in the play, and this year our dances are really cool. And I remember when we finished, this one dance got taken over the hall, and we did like the whole thing together for the first time ever. And then we finished and everyone was like, wow, that was so amazing. And I really felt like it was a really meaningful moment just to be able to dance with everyone.
For me, a moment that was very meaningful was there's just been so many parts. I can't necessarily choose one, but the one that keeps coming to mind is there's a few rehearsals where we have spent lots of time laughing, less time actually rehearsing, and there's no particular reason as to why. We'll just come on stage, we cannot keep a straight face, and it takes so long. But they're really fun, and I think they really bond us all as a cast. Yeah.
I mean, really, this whole process is actually really meaningful to me because I started acting since elementary school, and so I get to see all these people that I've been growing up with. I get to see how they progress as actors, and I get to see how I progress as an actor myself. And so just seeing all these people around me and how they become better at acting, and seeing how the upperclassmen, seeing them lead us, it's all really meaningful to me. So,
wow, thank you, everybody. What a great conversation. A huge thank you to our student guests for sharing those stories. It's one thing to see the finished show, but it's another to hear about the personal journey, all the challenges and rewards that happen behind the curtain. We're going to take a quick break for a message, and when we come back, we're going from the stage to the director's chair.
All right, in this episode, it seems we've been hearing amazing stories from the cast of The Wind in the Willows. And it's more than just a musical. It's a masterclass in teamwork. Whether you're a stage manager, a lead, or part of the ensemble, a production only works if everybody shows up, listens, and supports each other. That kind of dedication translates to everything you do, from group projects in science to leadership roles in clubs. So, here's our public service announcement. Embrace the ensemble. Look for ways to contribute, commit to your responsibilities, and celebrate your teammates' successes on the stage and off. The skills you build being a Wild Wooder or a riverbank animal are the same ones that build strong students and strong communities. Get involved, show up for the arts, and be a great collaborator. Let's jump back in and hear more about life backstage.
Welcome back. In our first segment, we heard from some of the cast and crew about their experience on the front lines. But who is the person responsible for guiding the entire process? We are now joined by the director of Wind in the Willows, our very own Mr. G, as we like to call him. Welcome to the show, and James will get us started again.
All right, Mr. G, Looking back at your first show with us up until Wind in the Willows, what is one moment or performance that stands out as a personal highlight, and what made it so special for you?
Okay, I will say I can never choose a favorite because I always have so many things I like about all the different shows, and I think there's highlights in all of them. But I will say that the first time I started doing more serious acting shows, so it began with Lord of the Flies, which was my second show, and then we did like 1984, we did Arturo Uy. So a lot of our like shows that have handled, I mean, I love musicals, don't get me wrong, but I like the shows where we really challenge people's acting. So in terms of like from the beginning till now, like everything in Wind of the Willows, all the talent that you see, it's not based off like, oh wow, they're so talented. No, they built that like over years and years of the program just building on itself. And so I think that would be my highlight, is like seeing the growth from year one to year eight. And that's not just me, that's like also the students reaching down to the younger classes, right? So I think that would be my highlight, or my special thing, is like seeing the student leadership evolve and grow, and then also take a big hit during COVID, right? Because then we were online, it was much harder to do stuff, and then rising back from the ashes like a firebird. I would say that would be my highlight of the whole time.
Yes, it's definitely amazing to see that growth over the years, especially after the pandemic, and how you've helped students build that confidence on stage. So as the director, what's the most rewarding part of your job?
The most rewarding part is also the saddest part at the same time, is the actual show days. Because when you see the actual show days and everything's like going really, really well because we practice it like crazy, and then also just the confidence boost that gives everyone, even myself, because sometimes I'm like, will we make it? And then, yeah, we made it. You were fine. That's hugely rewarding, but it's also sad because you know that by the final show night, which is usually a day or two later, that's it. Like, that show's over. So these people that you've spent literally hours of your time with, I mean, you'll still see them, but you won't see them as much. So it's both super rewarding and super sad at the same time.
All right. Well, on that note, speaking of the process, over the years, you've seen countless students grow from tentative beginners to confident performers. What is the single most important piece of advice you would give to our current and future student actors?
So my biggest advice is actually ripped off from Tim Minchin, who's a comedian and the writer of Matilda, the musical. And he says, instead of setting really long-term goals, set micro goals. So really small, achievable within like within a year, basically, or within a smaller amount of time. Because what happens with a lot of actors as well is they set these really high, unrealistic goals that they're impossible to achieve within the time, whereas when they start setting micro goals for themselves, for example, oh, all I want to do is I want to be able to at least cry this semester on stage, right? That's like a very small goal. But then I'll say, okay, yeah, now let's break that down into even smaller steps. First of all, are you even comfortable with sadness on stage? Start there. And then I'm like, okay, first you have to address that. And so in building micro goals is a lot better, also because when opportunities come up, you won't be so focused on that faraway goal, and you'll actually grab opportunities on the side, which build towards your portfolio. So it's actually good life advice in general. It's not just for acting. But I would say the amount of things I picked up in my life and skills I picked up by just being like, yeah, okay, because I wasn't like focused on one crazy faraway future, is like way more meaningful and built way more skills than like my longer term goals. Like finishing a degree is cool, but like during that degree, you know, serving coffee to someone, they were like, oh, you want to follow me around? I was like, okay. And I just followed the creative director of the theater around because she just offered. So if I'd been focused on just finishing my degree, I would have been focused on my grades and not picked up that opportunity. But I was like, yeah, I'm free all next week, sure. And like just setting those kind of micro goals so you can pick up skills on the side as you go would be my biggest advice.
Yep, I agree. And that's important to set like smart goals and to see the bigger picture and who you can become in the long run, right? Because these incremental steps that you take would eventually lead to profound personal transformations. So similar to setting goals, throughout every performance, there will be challenges. So which show was the most difficult to direct or produce? And what was the magic trick or moment that helped you finally conquer it?
I think every show is hard. Okay, let's say I don't pick easy shows. Let's just put it that way. Maybe I do it to myself. But I think every show is hard in different ways. So you have some that are emotionally taxing for actors or actresses, like Arturo Uy. Like, literally, people are pretending to be Hitler. Like, you know, the character is basically Hitler. So, like, how do we tackle that, right? Or how do we tackle the nuance between, like, being really political in that play and at the same time, you know, people not taking it the wrong way. So those, there can be those kind of challenges. I find those kind of challenges fun. I think in terms of like this show, Wind of the Willows, there's a lot of the acting has actually been easier. I think a lot of the actors mentioned like the singing's really hard, but they can do a lot of that independently and really work on that. And the acting for a lot of, especially our really experienced ones, it's, you know, they can use Laban or Laban, however you want to say it, or a lot of like simple acting techniques because the characters are musical theater characters. And so they've just been able to nail that. And a lot of my notes are quite basic, like, oh, remember to do this, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of like small corrections versus other shows. Whereas the technical side of how things flow in the show, I mean, there's three boats, two trains, two cars, and all the normal locations. So there's just a ridiculous amount of tech construction that's been really difficult. And I would say the magic trick for all theater, the magic theater dust is overtime. Like, it's just, if you put in a lot of work into something, you do well. And so as someone who kind of skirted through life in my early days, because I was easily memorizing things in school, right? That was the easy part for me. So I would just like not try. Being surrounded by constant challenges that I actually have to work, like, no one's gonna do that magically for me. Same with my tech crew. I always tell them, like, no one's gonna magically clean up for you, or no one's gonna magically build that thing. You build it. So I would say the magic dust is overtime and hard work and lots of sweat, blood, and sometimes tears.
Well, that's a very long answer, Mr. G.
Sorry.
And as we sadly know, Wind in the Willows will be your final show here. So I'm going to ask a more sentimental question. Is there a theme, a message, or even just a specific piece of music from this production that feels particularly resonant or meaningful as you close this major part in your life?
Yes. So there's two, actually. One is, there's a song in this musical, which a lot of people heard in the preview, which is called A Friend is Still a Friend. It's about if your friends mess up and you still forgive them and move on. But for me, that's personal because I view my life as chapters, kind of like you said. So if there's different chapters of my life, then this is one chapter. But when the chapter finishes, it doesn't mean the book is closed. So like, knowing that, you know, if students are visiting Europe or whatever, even if they're like all the way in Amsterdam, which is like an hour from me, I would still be like, yeah, dude, yeah, come by. We'll meet halfway. Or, you know, like, I try to meet up with them, and which I've done with quite a lot of alumni already. So that would be one. And the other one is, there's a song called A Place to Come Back To. And it's all about forgetting about your old house and then like coming back to your old house. And that one always hits me really hard because I know that eventually I'll fly back to Thailand for like a vacation, and I'll have that very deep sentimental feeling of like, this was home and it technically still is home, but it's also not home at the same way it was. So that one always makes me a little like choked up. Like, oh, like when she sings that song. Also, Layla sings it beautifully, so big props to her. But it's like, oh, it just pulls my heartstrings every time, because I'm like, I know that like come next July when school starts, or yeah, end of July, right? August, I'm going to see all the pictures of people going back to school, and I'm going to be like, that's my place to come back to, but I'm not coming back. So I would say that's my main two takeaways.
Yeah, like, songs can definitely bring so much nostalgia and also memories, as well as serve as this vehicle for you to reconnect with both the past and look forward into the future. So while we're sad to see you go, we're also excited for your next chapter. What does your encore look like? What musical adventure are you most looking forward to tackling next?
So that's a bit of a mystery right now. European job market moves way faster. So a lot of jobs I've looked at, they're like, oh, can you start next month? And I'm like, no, what? You're looking at next month? I'm looking at next year. So that's really hard to know. What I do know for sure in terms of, I mean, musical adventure, we'll see. There's definitely some people I've already spoken to who are like, oh, can you help us out? But I'm not sure if I'm going to say yes yet because, you know, it depends how much they pay. But definitely in terms of adventure, I'd probably be looking at teaching some college level theater as well, and maybe pursuing a PhD. And music wise, I'd like to do my own YouTube channel a little bit more, because I do that whenever I'm not working on a musical. I am always releasing my own music. So yeah, I would say those are the main things. It's hard to know right now, but I think that's what it's going to look like.
Wow, what a great conversation. So a big thank you to Mr. G for sharing with us. It was much more than just a look at Wind in the Willows. Hearing you reflect on your personal highlights, the advice you've shared with students over the years, and what this final show means to you. It's clear how much passion and care you've poured into our school's theater and drama program over the years. We're sad to see you go, but we're wishing you the best on your next encore. What a perfect way to close out this production. And that wraps up our behind-the-scenes look at Wind in the Willows. If there's one thing we learned today, it's that the magic of theater we talked about at the beginning isn't just what you see on stage. It's in the hard work, the collaboration, the empathy, and the shared passion of every single student and teacher involved. A huge thank you to all the students from the cast and crew who shared their stories with us. And a special thank you to our director, Mr. G, for everything you've given to this school's theater program over the years. Now, the best way for all of us to thank them is to go see the show. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you like the episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives, sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.